WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We first learned about poet Frank Bidart from two trusted sources, Lloyd Schwartz and Mark Halliday. Lloyd reviews classical music for Fresh Air, but he's also a poet and writing teacher. He met Bidart when they were both graduate students at Harvard. Lloyd told me he thinks Bidart is the most trusted personal critic of people's poems. There's a network of poets who wouldn't consider a poem finished until Bidart read it. Mark Halliday is Fresh Air's poet in residence. Mark studied with Bidart at Brandeis. Mark says, as a teacher of poetry, Bidart revealed a kind of courage to live by, the courage to insist on truthfulness at the heart of one's own poems and those of others. Bidart currently teaches at Wellesley and Brandeis and serves as the literary executor for the estate of Robert Lowell. Bidart has a new book called In the Western Night, Collected Poems, 1965 through 1990. I asked him to explain how he first found his own voice as a poet.
At a certain point, you realize that all you're doing is a sort of a pale reflection of what's been accomplished. And then you turn to your own life and you ask yourself, well, does Ulysses describe my life? Is life studies the embodiment of my relationship, my experience, what it felt like for me to grow up? And, well, the answer is no.
Well, you've been working with the subject matter of your life and the lives of others. You've also been working with tone of voice, with trying to get the voice down. And I think your poems have a real sense of I in them. It's not just like a third-person description. It's not description. It's an I telling somebody and working through something, trying to get to the bottom of something.
I know I felt again and again that the only way I could really make a poem that I wanted to make was if I tackle something from the bottom up, or tried to do something which got to the bottom of an issue. It's only satisfying, I think, if you at least attempt that. Otherwise, you're sort of floating around in in how I feel today, or in describing what it looks like out the window. That's not very satisfying. It certainly doesn't answer to what one's soul wants art to be.
You know, in addition to writing about your life in your voice, you've also written about other people's lives in their voices. Why did you start doing that? Was there a need to kind of get out of your own life, or kind of get beyond your own experience in your writing?
Well, I think when one reads, when one comes upon certain material, you discover yourself in it. I mean, when I was an undergraduate, I read The Case of Ellen West, an essay, a great essay by a man named Ludwig Binswanger. Anyway, the essay and The Case of Ellen West, I felt very compelled by. I felt I very much recognized powerful, important elements of my own experience in her. She's anorexic. I've never been anorexic, but I grew up a Catholic. The issues of the kind of war between the mind and the body were very real to me. I had always been overweight. I was never exactly fat, but I was too heavy, and I hated being too heavy. I felt that to write a poem about her was to find a purchase on issues not only about weight and the relation between mind and body, but issues about gender that I had no other purchase on, and issues that, for whatever reason, I couldn't seem to write about in my own voice.
Could you read us a section from the Ellen West poem?
Okay. Well, this is early in the poem, and she's talking about a time before she was in the hospital, before she was married. About 5 years ago, I was in a restaurant, eating alone with a book. I was not married, and often did that. I turned down dinner invitations so I could eat alone. I'd allow myself two pieces of bread with butter at the beginning, and three scoops of vanilla ice cream at the end. sitting there alone with a book, both in the book and out of it, waited on, idly watching people. When an attractive young man and woman, both elegantly dressed, sat next to me. She was beautiful, with sharp, clear features, a good bone structure. If she took her makeup off in front of you, rubbing cold cream again and again across her skin, she still would be beautiful, more beautiful. And he, I couldn't remember when I'd seen a man so attractive. I didn't know why. He was almost a male version of her. I had the sudden mad notion that I wanted to be his lover. Were they married? Were they lovers? They didn't wear wedding rings. Their behavior was circumspect. They discussed politics. They didn't touch. How could I discover? Then, when the first course arrived, I noticed the way each held his fork out for the other to taste what he had ordered. They did this again and again, with pleased looks, indulgent smiles for each course, more than once for each dish. Much too much for just friends. Their behavior somehow sickened me. The way each gladly put the food the other had offered into his mouth. I knew what they were. I knew they slept together. An immense depression came over me. I knew I could never, with such ease, allow another to put food into my mouth. Happily myself put food into another's mouth. I knew that to become a wife, I would have to give up my ideal.
This poem is based on a case study. How did you change the case study into a poem? And what did you take from it? And what did you transform?
Right. I think I couldn't have written the poem if I felt all I was doing was simply replicating the case study. There would have been no point in simply repeating what was already there.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a long time reading the case history, read it very slowly and certainly more than once. And like Ellen West, I like to go to restaurants and sit there and read a book and brood. I was in a restaurant one night, and I said to myself, I want to imagine how Ellen West would feel sitting here. It was quite amazing. A couple came in, sat next to me at the table next to me, and they started doing the things that I describe in the poem. In other words, the section was really a kind of gift from nowhere. It's incredible. They didn't just have a couple of bites from each other's plate. They really fed each other. And as I was watching them trying to be in the skin of Ellen West, I felt her sense of revulsion at this, the way this embodied the intimacy of their relationship, something about the nature of marriage having to do with being willing to give food to others and to accept food from others, and the sort of terrible sense that if this was what relationship and intimacy in marriage was about, forever barred from it.
What's the longest you've ever worked on a poem?
Well, the last poem in this new collected poems is called The First Hour of the Night, and it took me about 3.5 years to write it. It's something I mean, a lot of that time was brooding and thinking and reading. That's the longest it's ever taken me to write a poem.
That seems like a really long time. Now, I know that there have been long periods in your life where you don't answer the telephone. Is that is that work related or is that personal?
Oh,
or are the two so intertwined it's hard to separate?
You have spies.
I have spies, yes.
who have told you lies. No, it's all too true. I love to hole up in my apartment and think and read and brood and listen to music and watch videotapes, and I'm never lonely. Solitude for me is not at all lonely. I resent the idea that anybody with a dime can invade one's privacy. I mean, that's silly, obviously, because it's not only an invasion. And when I get lonely, I call people on the phone, and I certainly see people, and I like social life very much. But I like it a lot more when I have also had a lot of time to be alone.
Are you working on a poem now?
No, I haven't written a poem since the book was finished, which was the end of last summer. In a way, it's a wonderful feeling not to have to write. That is, I felt something was completed with a book, some project was completed. I have a lot of other ideas about what a new project will be, but I don't know, I certainly don't know what the embodiment will be, and I don't feel driven to enter it yet. It's a very nice feeling. It'll end too soon. Of course, I also hope it'll end too soon. If it goes on too long, I'm going to be in a panic because I'm not writing.
Thanks a lot for talking with us.
Okay, it's really been a pleasure.
Frank Bidart, his new book, In the Western Night, Collected Poems, 1965 to 1990, is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux.